Welcome to the Maze Marketing Podcast. This isn't another podcast about marketing tricks or hacks, but about building effective marketing systems, beating marketing overwhelm, and communicating your expertise with your hosts, Rob Drummond and Jonathan Wilson.
There's an old saying in pay-per-click that data is king. The more data you have, the more things become obvious. Both Jonathan and I work as freelance consultants, meaning that we don't actually have tremendous amounts of data compared to what you might find at an agency, for example. So I'm really pleased to introduce today's guest, Paul Fairbrother. Paul works for a company called Ad Espresso. We'll talk more about Ad Espresso on the call itself, but it's a tool mostly for agencies to manage Google Ads, Facebook Ads in a single platform. Consequently, they have clients in all sorts of fields and insight into what is working on Facebook and also what is working on Instagram. So in this call, I pick Paul's brains as to what is going on with Facebook ads, what is going on with Instagram, and how you can incorporate that into your ad strategy. So without further ado, let's jump in. Okay, so hello, everyone. Really pleased today to have Paul Fairbrother on the call. So Paul is a Facebook and Instagram ad specialist at Hootsuite and Ad Espresso. Just as a bit of a backstory, I've not actually used Ad Espresso personally, but when I went over to Perry Marshall's Paradigm Shift ad writing workshop, Ad Espresso was one of the tools that Perry was using to sort of test like 100 different variations of a remarketing ad quite quickly. So I'm quite pleased to have Paul on the call. So we'll talk a little bit about Paul's background and Ad Espresso and also pick his brains about Facebook and Instagram. So Paul, welcome.
Welcome, Rob. Welcome, Jonathan. Thanks for having me on the podcast today.
Brilliant. So I normally, you know, start these calls by asking people just to talk through a bit about your backgrounds, what brought you to, you know, your current role at Ad Espresso, basically.
Cool. So I used to be a social media manager. I used to run a franchise business, like a cafe chain. And so I'd be looking after about 50 social media channels, obviously with some assistance there, but generally being the manager for those. And what I noticed over time when you're seeing so many channels is that Facebook and Instagram and all the other social media platforms are becoming pay to play. So I decided to jump and go over to the dark side there of doing paid ads. Just the fact that you could see that you're going to get much more distribution there. And one little anecdote for you is when I joined Ad Espresso, I managed to go and look at my customer account. Because basically, I used to be a customer of Ad Espresso. I used to help out in their private Facebook group all the time, answering everybody's questions. And it got to the stage where they said, hey, Paul, we might as well pay you for this. Just join our team. So that's really nice. It's nice when you've actually had that customer experience. So what I did in my first week is I logged on to HubSpot that we use for our customer relationship management and looked at my customer account. And I realized that before I became a customer, there was between 70 and 80 touches there. So when I was a prospect, I'd be like reading the blog posts, getting the emails, getting the free trials, looking at the webinars, all those sorts of things. So I think it really reinforces what you both cover, which is that you don't have this simple sales funnel of somebody clicks on an ad, reads the blog post, signs up as a lead, gets the trial, and that's it, game over. It's much more of a complex web than that.
That's very revealing, because the classic marketing old school wisdom is that it takes 7 touch points for people to respond to an ad, right? So clearly we've got something a little bit different going on these days.
And everyone's still trying to plan those 7 touch points out like you're in control, and you're really not.
Yeah, it's something I don't know if either of you have heard of Robert Craven, but he runs an agency group called GYDA, which is Grow Your Digital Agency. I recommend anybody that's listening, if they're agency owners, check out Robert Craven. But he's kind of gone on one of these rants about the myth of the funnel, is that it just, people don't just click on the ad and then go through and have the trial and that's it, that they then jump back up to the top and then go to the bottom again. And what we see is that the only way to really counteract this is to be producing content regularly. So it's no good having this one ebook or one blog post and hoping that that's going to do everything. And that's my role at Adespresso now, basically, is head of education. So I still do, I've still got skin in the game. I still service clients and I do coaching calls. I'll actually place probably 1 to 2 million of Facebook and Instagram ads per year for Adespresso and Hootsuite. But I also do webinars, occasional blog posts and podcasts like this there. And that seems to be the key that we've noticed for content creation is just do it regularly, do it often, and keep pulling people, try and drag them down that funnel again. And they pop up to the surface and drag them down until you get them to be a really good fan or hopefully a customer.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting that you're seeing that the people who buy from you do have more of these touch points, and you're enabling that because you have this wider net of content available.
That's it. So to give you some kind of context, we blog 3 times a week. We've got 6 ebooks in rotation. We run a webinar once a month. We have a weekly email newsletter, all that kind of stuff. And so what we find is that people, if they know you as a thought leader, then they're going to trust your software there. So even though, you know, we're not selling courses and things like that, we're selling a software subscription so that people can run their Facebook, Instagram and Google ads. But the people that you're going to trust for good software is people producing good content there.
Yeah.
Okay. So just for anyone listening, can you kind of explain a little bit more? I mean, you just alluded there as to what Adespresso is, but can you just kind of elaborate a bit on what Adespresso is and how it's different to just managing your ads regularly?
Yeah, sure. So to give you a little bit of history, Adespresso was an Italian startup. So we started off in Milan and Rome. And then about 2.5 years ago, we got acquired by Hootsuite. And that's been a really good marriage because we're all about having organic and paid together. That sometimes you get these paid teams and you get the organic teams. At Hootsuite, we don't think there should be that divide, that everybody should work together. You can't just survive by doing like organic social media. You can't just have paid media. You need to be doing everything. Something we've had in the last year as well in Adespresso is the ability to run and manage your Google ads as well. So we've now got the whole journey that you've got Hootsuite for the organic side, and then you've got Adespresso for Facebook, Instagram, and Google there. And really our whole philosophy is to simplify your advertising and give you some really effective tools that, you know, software is there now to do the heavy lifting for you. So I don't know if either of you have read Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek.
You know what, we both have to kind of raise our hands here and shake our heads.
That's fine, but the basic philosophy is, you know, you're trying to automate and simplify things as much as possible. Yeah. And I wrote a blog post on 4-Hour Workweek for social media managers. Get the tools to do some of the heavy lifting. For example, reporting is really difficult in both Google and in Facebook. And, you know, I speak to agency owners or marketing managers, and what they have to do is export from Facebook into Excel. They then build their tables and graphs, and then they screenshot those and put them into Word, and they have to do the same every week. With Adespresso, you can click and drag reports, creates very nice graphs, pie charts, and so on, and then you can automate it so you can have like a report every day in your inbox. Another good example is split testing is really important. A-B testing, just trying 2 different graphics or 2 different headlines can sometimes halve your cost per click or your cost per acquisition. But in Facebook and Instagram, it's pretty difficult to do that. And we've also made split testing easier for Google search. So we've got that split testing there. We've got that really simple analysis. There's other tools that, like for agency owners, that if you need to get clients to approve campaigns, you used to have to take screenshots, email them across. Hopefully they're in the same time zone, get into email back. With this, you can basically send a one-click request. If they approve it, they just hit the button and the campaign goes live. So there's a whole suite of tools all into one. And that holistic approach saves you a lot of time and, you know, can halve call to your advertising costs overall there.
So it's more of like a collaboration tool as well, like if you have different people working on the accounts.
Yeah, we do have a focus on agencies. I mean, the idea is that, you know, if you're a small business owner, we can simplify things because you've got better things to do than kind of learn everything about Ads Manager. But agency collaboration is really good. But we also on the Hootsuite side scale up to enterprise. You know, I've got customers with 10 billion revenue who are using the tool there. So kind of all sizes. But what we've certainly seen with Facebook and Google, I would say, is the same, is that their tools are designed for uber geeks. Like Facebook is like a giant Excel spreadsheet. if you've got 10 hours a day to learn it, then it's a pretty nice tool. But, you know, the average person can't spend all that time just on one marketing channel. Even if they are, sometimes you don't see the wood from the trees. Is that, you know, you get this great spreadsheet and loads of columns in Facebook, and you miss the key things like, hey, are my campaigns getting saturated because people have seen them too often? You know, just simple things like that there. So by giving you nice graphical UI there, simple reporting, simple split testing, less is more, and you get some really good effective results there.
I think Facebook wasn't actually even designed for geeks. It was designed by geeks. It's like designed by developers for developers. So I'm forever bemoaning the Facebook interface.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the most user-friendly. They try, but there's very little graphical reporting in there. It's just columns after columns after columns there. You know, and something even as simple as a click, there are six definitions of a click. So you can imagine the average advertiser, they're like, am I looking for a click? Am I looking for a link click, an outbound click, a unique outbound click? It's just far too complex, and saying you then miss the key stats that you should be looking for. There's probably half a dozen stats that you need to focus on, and then there's all that noise, but you kind of lose that within Ads Manager.
Yeah, that's a real common problem. One of the things we talk about pretty often here, and so a lot of our listeners are from Perry Marshall's world, and Perry is big on a couple things. One, of course, is the 80-20 principle, like focus on what matters and not all those extra noisy things, right? And the other one is, the way Perry puts it, is not paying the stupidity tax. So not to be insulting, but the fact of the matter is you don't know what you don't know, right? And if you're a small business owner, like you just talked about, and you're trying to get your ads running, or you're new to all this, you don't have a year to flush down the tubes trying to just get a handle on how to use the interface while you're burning cash the whole time, right? So it's amazing to be able to have tools that'll simplify the entire project like that.
Absolutely. That's the key. You know, the key to success with ads or anything is to get going. And just the interface within Ads Manager and Google can be really off-putting.
Yeah.
So yeah, just add Espresso makes it a lot simpler to go and do your ads. And definitely that split testing, I think it's overlooked a lot, certainly on the Facebook side, is that simple A-B testing of your ads can just halve your cost like that. If you're doing that with several rounds of advertising, you can sometimes cut your cost down to a tenth. Now, I'm not going to say you're always going to get that. I don't want to make any miraculous claims. But I run a lot of campaigns myself for clients, and I've seen this time and time again.
Is there like a sort of minimum level of spend that you would suggest that then investing in Ad Espresso becomes an obvious no-brainer, because you'll just, you know, if you run a few split tests, it'll easily be worth the money just for the split testing functionality?
Yeah, we've designed ourselves intentionally to help small businesses and help them to grow. So one of my aims, if I'm ever working with clients, is to, you know, double their size there. So our plans start from like $69 a month. So, you know, we're not kind of like crazy price like some really top end tools. Obviously, it grows with your ad spend there. But what we try to do is be more than just a tool, which is why I'm head of education, is so that we try and give people everything they need to use the software. So we're producing the webinars, we've got a private Facebook group, we've got blog posts, the ebooks, guides, absolutely everything that they need there. And you know, from a Facebook ads perspective, the nice thing is that you can start from $1 a day or £1 a day, depending where you are. So it's very accessible, and certainly, I don't know what you've both found, but we're getting a lot of kickback from people advertising on LinkedIn, is that it just like eats through large budgets. And sometimes on LinkedIn campaigns, you need like £100, $100 a day. Sometimes it's less, but it's still not that kind of dollar a day. So that's the first nice thing with Facebook, is that you can have an organic Facebook business page for free. You can then dip your toe in the water for very, very little spend. And you've got that accountability there. So there's something called the Facebook Pixel, which you can put on the website. And then you can track events, so you can see what your cost per lead is. You can then, you know, your cost per purchase, if that applies, you get that real accountability there. In terms of split testing the amount that you need, obviously, the more the better there, and you can get geeky and talk about statistical significance, but it really depends on what your cost
per... That's music to Jonathan's ears, by the way.
I just saw him lit up. It really depends on your cost per, your CPA, your cost per acquisition. If you're getting, you know, like 50 cent leads, then you don't need to spend that much to be able to see what's working. If you've got a high ticket product and it's $100 per sale, then you're obviously going to need a few thousand to pump into it. But you can start seeing the trends for pretty small ad amounts and then work up bit by bit there.
Okay, great. Something I really want to clarify for people is that even though you're through Adespresso, you're letting people advertise on multiple platforms, so Google Ads, Facebook, Instagram, all of these places, you're not just cloning the strategy. You're not simplifying the strategy, you're just simplifying the interface.
That's it. So everybody connects their own ad accounts into Adespresso. So we're not like charging the networks or anything like that for the ads. We don't get involved in that billing. That you have your Facebook account, which also doubles as your Instagram ad account. You can then put in multiple Facebook pages and Instagram accounts. And the same on the Google side there, you can have multiple Google accounts. So you are placing your ads that what they will sync up with those networks. So if you use Adespresso to create a Facebook ad, it will then get booked into Facebook's ads manager. So we're not doing some magical extra platform or anything like that. It's going through those networks there. But just make it easier with split testing, campaign creation, reporting, those types of things.
So if anyone's listening and is spending, you know, some money at the moment on Facebook and does not like the interface, then this might be something to, you know, at least investigate.
It's a no-brainer to give these a try. We've got a 14-day free trial, just like most software that you get. So you can give it a go and see if it works for you. But yeah, to give you a little bit of history with Adespresso is when we started up, there's three guys in Milan started it. And one of them was a graphic designer. So from day one, even before we wrote any code, we were designing the graphics to have that nice graphical UI. And whereas you were just saying that, you know, ads managers designed by developers for developers, it's a very, very different interface there.
Can we talk a little bit about Instagram? So I know for a fact that we have people listening to this that have heard the word Instagram, are familiar that there is a social media platform called Instagram, but don't really get it. So I'd like to even just like... yeah, and everyone should be using it, yeah, because that's what all the social media people keep telling us. Yeah. I'd like to sort of take a bit of a step back and get your opinion on, you know, so what is Instagram, why Facebook bought it, and how is it different?
Okay, so to give you like a 5-second reason why you need to be on Instagram is there's a billion users there. So if you look at the social media platforms, you've got Facebook with 2 billion, you've got Instagram with 1 billion, and then everything else kind of gets the scraps. That obviously they've got different niches like LinkedIn for B2B and things. But I was looking today, and so Snapchat's got about 190 million users. Twitter, it depends how they report the figures that quarter, but about 125 million. So you can see that Facebook and Instagram between them, because you can advertise at the same time through Facebook. It just means you've got that huge, huge reach there. And going back to like what you were saying about the 80-20 rule is, yes, we could be advertising on Twitch and Reddit and Quora and TikTok and whatever the platform is this month. But we don't have time usually to learn all these platforms, and we need to get maximum effect. So Facebook and Instagram between them, that's where everybody is on there.
So obviously when you create, well, not necessarily obviously, but when you create a Facebook ad, you can select for that ad to also run on Instagram. Is that a good idea, or you know, should you create a separate ad for Instagram, basically?
Yeah, so the thing with Instagram is really to be thinking in the mind of the user there. So the user experience on Instagram is very different than Facebook. Facebook is kind of all things to all people, that when you go to post on there, there are about 10 buttons, depending on whether you want to post there, a photo or a video or an event or a poll or God knows what on there. So the reason why Facebook is so big is because it's ubiquitous. But really on Instagram, you've got that simplicity that it's a photo sharing platform. Short videos as well, but it's a very, very visual medium, not very text heavy on there. And that's why Facebook originally acquired Instagram, is they could see that that's what everybody's looking for. Is that, I'll give you a little stat, 93% of Facebook usage is on mobile. It's huge, like only 7% on desktop. So what are people doing? They're taking photos out and about on their phone. They're just uploading it to Instagram on there. So that means we have to reflect that on ads. And where people make a real mistake is they try and use their, you know, stock photos, really text heavy, landscape images, and they try and upload them to Instagram, where everybody's posting pictures of unicorn cakes and smashed avocado and sourdough and, you know, wedding photos and things like that. And these ads just stand out like a sore thumb. And unconsciously, without even thinking about it, people just scroll past them. So as advertisers, we need to hang out on the platform a bit and just look at the content there. And you don't want it too polished. You want to be using square formats, which is what 99% of Instagram images are, and just something that's really going to fit in with that user experience there.
I noticed that people really, like people who really use and love Instagram, spend a lot of time sharpening their photos, applying filters and doing this sort of thing. Like there's a lot of love that goes into the photo, basically.
Yeah, it's a real photo-led platform. So yeah, you know, like if you look at ads on, say, LinkedIn, then they are going to be more your kind of what I call Photoshop style, where they've got they look like a PowerPoint graphic, basically. Whereas on Instagram, then you do need to do a bit of polishing, but just really photos, that's what it's all about. And yeah, there is some filtering, but you know, keep it quite light, keep informal, saying don't use stock photos in any ad text that you use. You know, maybe sprinkling the odd emoji, don't go crazy on there, but just really fit in with that user experience on there. So quite informal. Also to kind of think about the product that's going to work on Instagram and whether it's a good placement for you. Simply, Instagram's about food, fashion, lifestyle, that sort of thing on there. So insurance products probably won't work on there. You know, give it a test. The great thing is we can just put a small budget and have that tracking place and test. But generally it's kind of consumer food, fashion, lifestyle that's going to work better than B2B kind of stuff on there.
Food, fashion, and lifestyle. Yeah. I like that. I think that's a really good takeaway, actually.
Yeah. I'm curious if, in your opinion, is Instagram best for just branding, like branding and educational content?
No, absolutely not. It's very, very good for shopping. And saying the great thing about Facebook and Instagram is they use the same ads platform. So you've got the same tracking, the Facebook pixel. So you can see, you know, dollars in and dollars out. It's as transparent as that. And what we see on Instagram is it depends on the product, but we are getting very, very good results. It's not like, say, Pinterest, which is very top of the funnel. Instagram, yes, you can use it for brand awareness, but you can be using it for direct purchases and leads. Just generally, you'll find it a little bit difficult if you're doing B2B lead generation. It's more for the consumer side. But say sometimes give it a go on there. I think sometimes we forget that, you know, business executives, they're human. They do use Instagram and Facebook as well. And we think, they just hang out on LinkedIn and read white papers. But no, they go and hang out on Instagram as well. In terms of demographic, there is definitely a skew towards females on there. In terms of ages, it is a slightly younger demographic on there, but not as skewed as people think. That sometimes there's this impression that Instagram is just like millennials. But remember that Instagram's been mainstream for over 5 years now. So those millennials are starting to grow up. Also, because it's a very simple platform to use, a lot of older people are turning to it as well. They're getting fed up with logging onto Facebook and having, like, saying 10 options when you try and compose a post. They just like to upload a quick photo to Instagram, put a couple of emojis, a hashtag, and away you go there.
Brilliant. So if I can just sort of read between the lines a little bit. So for people listening, you can advertise on Instagram using the same mechanisms that you would on Facebook, but it is a bit of a different audience. Specifically, if you have anything to do with food, fashion, or lifestyle, then this is going to be really important. If not, maybe less so. I was going to ask you about remarketing. So do you use Instagram much for remarketing specifically?
That's going to be really good, because what we're looking for in remarketing is getting in front of people as soon as possible. So, you know, where we can chase them around the web and get those eyeballs as soon as possible, then there's that extra platform. So you've got an extra billion people that you can target on there. So that's where Instagram is going to be really effective, regardless of your product. Even B2B is going to be doing very well there. And something I should point out as well is that remarketing on Facebook and Instagram is very good, even if you mainly drive your cold traffic from Google, is that people think there's this real divide that there's Google and Facebook are, like, you know, enemies. But that's not the case on the paid side. Google actually place ads on Facebook trying to get people to place Google ads. But that's great. Is, you know, a very common strategy is you could be placing search campaigns on Google, drive that traffic through to your website, and then remarket them on Facebook and Instagram. You know, if you were like trying to find a lawyer, you might be using the Google search, putting the keywords on there. I know that's really, really popular. Come through to the website. If they don't take an action straight away, remarket them on their social feeds, where, you know, most people are logging onto Facebook and Instagram daily. 2/3 of Facebook users are on the platform every single day.
We've definitely seen a correlation between, or a some kind of connection between Google Ads and Facebook. And actually, you know, we've both independently had clients who have decided to, you know, turn off their Facebook ads. And then I've noticed that the Google conversions have magically dried up. And so, you know, it's interesting, like, you know, so with Instagram, especially for a remarketing ad, it gives you an extra platform, an extra place to appear. It might even be worth, you know, I guess depending on how much volume you've got and how big the remarketing audience is, but it might even be worth creating a separate Instagram ad if you're in fashion, lifestyle, food.
Yeah, and something that we haven't covered yet, which is really huge, is Instagram stories. So to give you some figures on that, Instagram stories is something that was produced about 3 years ago by Instagram, basically as a blatant copy of Snapchat on there. But it's got really huge now. So there are 500 million people every day viewing Instagram stories.
So can we just define for people what an Instagram story is?
Yep. So your Instagram feed, that's very much like your Facebook news feed, is that you just go and scroll through that linear feed of posts on there. But Instagram stories is what we call more of a lean back experience, that it just goes, you start watching one story and then it goes into the next. They're very short, snappy, bite-sized pieces of content. But crucially, they're designed for mobile. So what they do is they fill up the screen. They are in vertical format, so they fill up the whole of your mobile screen when you hold it in your hand. And when people are uploading them, they generally put lots of stickers, lots of emojis, lots of filters. And they last for a day. This is organic content on there. Because what we found now is that people don't want their content to be on Facebook for 10 years. You know, they're a very different person in a few years' time compared to what they are now. And these old posts are coming back to bite them. So we're finding that people like this ephemeral content that just this lives for a short amount of time, and they could be more liberal, more free with what they put. So they're at a party, they've had a few beers, they can just upload a story, their friends see it, they react to it, the next day it's gone there. Once you just press the button to start the stories, it's just going to flip from story to story to story. They're generally 15 seconds long, though they can be a bit longer. So you're just going to snack on this content there. It's a great kind of way to pass time there. We are certainly seeing a very strong skew towards younger audiences using Instagram stories. But what we find as marketers is that they are still underused. probably because chief marketing officers and agency owners tend to be a bit older. They're not using stories themselves, and they're missing this trick because they were brought up with Instagram feed, and they're not realizing there's 500 million people on stories. One last little fact about that as well is it's predicted this year that there will be more organic Instagram stories posted than Instagram newsfeed posts. That's how big it's got now.
Wow.
I have to admit, I have never created a story. So I'm going to have to psych myself up for that.
And the challenge as marketers is we've got a vertical format there. So we're still getting videographers producing landscape videos on there, and they can't be used. We need a vertical format. So it's very informal with loads and loads of stickers, emojis, that kind of thing there.
Like you were doing it on your phone as well. Because it would be
that's like, the best way to create them is on the phone. So it is a bit of a challenge when, you know, if you're an agency design studio to go and create that fun, informal content, it's a lot easier to produce your classic square or landscape, you know, more kind of dry content that you've got there. So I would say that to really succeed with Instagram stories, if you're using them, I mean, one is just to hang out there and view some, but you generally need to find somebody that's using it. So I always go and find that usually slightly younger person that's using stories all the time and doesn't really hang out on the Facebook or Instagram newsfeed, and get them to create some of the content there. So yeah, very, very different look and feel. So there's definitely some spare capacity on Instagram stories because it's being underused by the big agencies.
In terms of like the 80-20 principle, I mean, in terms of what, you know, obviously there's a lot we've talked about that you could pay attention to. Do you need to build up like a big Instagram following before people will actually see your stories?
No, not if you're doing it for paid. That you just need an Instagram account. You don't need any followers at all. It's not going to make any difference really to how people interact with your stories. It's really about getting the right fit for them, that you've got very short content. You don't have any text on them apart from what you superimpose on any of the graphics or videos that you're using. So really the challenge is how do you tell your story in 15-second video in vertical format?
So it's not just necessarily being pushed out organically. Is it a bit like boosting it? Like you might boost it on Facebook? Or?
Yeah, so you create a separate ad there and then it just slots in between the other stories. So it's a bit like watching TV where you have an ad break there. And so people will snack on several stories and then your story will appear. And the trick there is to capture them within the first 1 to 2 seconds. Otherwise, they're just going to swipe and move on to the next story there. But if you can get something engaging, then, you know, short engaging content, it's a great platform to get in front of people. What I'm finding overall with Instagram stories is that the performance isn't quite as good as the Instagram newsfeed or Facebook newsfeed yet for performance marketing. So where we're trying to get those leads or we're trying to get those conversions and sales, I'm seeing the cost is higher, not by a huge amount, maybe 10-15%, but certainly my e-commerce clients, I'm putting too much into stories. But for your kind of top of the funnel branding, imagine you're Coca-Cola or Red Bull and you want to get in front of that audience, then for branding, stories is definitely the way to go there.
And you can target the stories using the regular interests that you might target Facebook ad with, or?
Yeah, so the great thing with Facebook is you've got so many targeting options. You've got obviously the classics like age and gender. There's interest targeting, but also most of what we're doing now for cold traffic is moving to lookalikes. This is where you give Facebook a seed audience, like maybe an email list of your current customers, and Facebook will just use its algorithms to create an audience of people with very similar characteristics. And the great thing with Facebook from an advertiser's point of view is the Facebook pixel is on hundreds of thousands, probably millions of websites. So Facebook knows whether you watch videos on Facebook or on Instagram stories. It knows whether you click on things, whether you comment, whether you sign up for leads on websites, what you purchase, how much you purchase there. It's quite freaky as a user, but it's a lot of data there. And really just to find that data as an advertiser, saying just use those seed audiences, press a couple of buttons, you get a lookalike there. But there's also some really awesome targeting options that we can do for retargeting. And that's something that's going to be really powerful. So I'll just run through them very, very briefly. First is classic, that we can retarget website traffic, and we can even drill down to certain pages or time on site, or interactions like if somebody's added to cart but not purchased, we could target them, or we could, you know, upsell people that have purchased twice, loads of stuff like that. Second one we can do is an email customer file, where we have our email customer list or leads, we can upload those and retarget. People that interact in mobile apps, Facebook integrates with loads and loads of mobile apps, so you can then retarget those people, trying to get them to come back to the app and engage and go to the next level. People that watch video, that's great. You can show somebody a video, they can watch it, you can then retarget them with a special offer. Instagram engagers, you can retarget. Facebook page engagers, people that respond to events on Facebook, where you've got the Facebook posts with events. You know, you think of these opportunities here. You could have somebody that's responding saying they're going to an event, and one day beforehand, you could go and retarget them with an Instagram post. You know, you're showing them a 30-second video of the event coming up to make sure they actually attend. There's so many possibilities there for retargeting.
So, the retargeting options on Facebook have always, like, for, you know, the last few years have been really interesting. So it's interesting to know that you can do similar things on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly the same audiences. And that's the nice thing, going back to the 80-20 rule, is that you don't have to create a separate campaign unless you're doing Instagram stories. There is the equivalent on Facebook of Facebook stories, and there's even Messenger stories, but nobody uses those. So I don't think you...
It might even disappear from the interface eventually, but like a bit like eventually everyone acknowledged that nobody really wants a Google Plus.
That's it. Yes, I think Messenger stories are the equivalent of a Google Plus. But it means that we can create these audiences, and we can decide, okay, do I want to run them on Facebook and Instagram together, or just on Instagram, or just on Facebook? That's the great thing with those retargeting audiences, is once you create them, you can just plug them in, extremely easy to use there.
Excellent. Well, I think this has been a really good overview. So is there anything else that I should have asked you and haven't that you would like to share with everyone before we wrap up?
I would urge everybody, you know, if they're from the Google side, is give that retargeting a go. That I see the ROI is very, very high and the costs are very, very low. But the key thing is time windows. Is so when you're retargeting audiences, you can choose a time window. For example, you're better off for your evergreen campaigns, these are campaigns you leave running, to just target like 3-day or 7-day website visitors rather than hammering them for 2 months with the same ad. Also really important to use exclusions. Where people really hate retargeting ads is where you purchase a product and the next day, over the next month, you see the same product going, hey, go and buy this product.
So
ads get a really bad name because advertisers are still pretty poor out there. And final thing from there is we've got loads and loads of free resources for you. It doesn't matter whether you sign up for AdEspresso. We just want to get you to succeed with your marketing. So if you go to adespresso.com, you'll see a little tab called Academy. We've got dozens of free webinars, about half a dozen eBooks, guides on Google as well as Facebook there and Instagram. So loads and loads of resources saying, if you think, okay, I'm 100% happy with Ads Manager, still go and check us out and you can get all these free resources there.
Excellent. Well, we'll add that to the show notes as well. I just have one final anecdote. I was at a mastermind meeting a few months ago and was talking to people about remarketing and retargeting, and I'm never quite sure whether the phrase it is remarketing or retargeting basically, but then I was talking to a lady there who was like, oh, you mean haunting? I was like, no. Like, we are not trying to haunt anyone, we're trying to serve them.
It feels like that sometimes, and that's definitely the key with those time windows there, is those audiences dynamically update. So you create one with a tight time window and, you know, hammer them with ads for like 3 days across Facebook, Instagram and audience network, and then kind of leave them alone for a bit there. You might still do some seasonal retargeting, like for Black Friday or whatever your new product offering is, but yeah, just don't kind of like hammer them with ads for too long, because that then it does feel like you're being haunted.
We're so pretty big on telling people not to be creepy, and the best way to do that is don't talk about what they just did. Just simply focus on what they need to do next or learn next.
Yeah, it depends on, sometimes it does work. And what's very good for e-commerce is what we call DPA or dynamic product ads. These are where you can target people with a product they just viewed. But make it worth their while. Give them a free accessory, a coupon code or something like that. And definitely don't do it for too long. I had one time I looked at a bag, a shoulder bag, and I saw the same ad for 180 days, which is the maximum you can retarget website visitors. It's like, hey, I bought the bag 5 months ago. Leave me alone.
They've already said they've already said no once, so don't make them say no 70 times more over the next.
That's it.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, well, thanks for coming on, Paul, and we'll hope to have you on again soon.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
If you found this episode helpful, you can continue your education with us through our Maze Insider membership program. As a Maze Insider, you'll get our monthly print newsletter, a monthly members-only webinar, plus unlimited support from myself and Jonathan through our private Google group. Go to mazemarketingpodcast.com/insider and enter the promo code PODCAST at checkout for a free 1-month trial.